Journey, you can go ahead and grab a seat if you're in one of our physical rooms right now. I do want to look in the camera and just say a big hello to our Hokesson location and all of you joining us online and then all of you in the room at Newark. I'm glad you're here, and I do want to also just give some love to our J team, all of you serving across all of our locations and all of our gatherings this weekend. You're amazing. Yeah, I'm proud of you. And can you believe we get to do this? So much fun. And I'm proud of every single one of you. And if you are here for the first time, I am hoping you're having a great experience so far. And I want to let you know that we are actually starting a message series this weekend called Good Grief. That's going to run through the end of April. So it'll continue for the next few weeks. And here's the why behind the what. All of us, whatever we believe about God or church and whatever our age or background, we've all grieved something at some point. We've all lost something or someone, a job, a friend, a family member, a dream. And the question is, how do we live in a world that has a lot of joy, but also has a lot of heartache and hurt many times? How do we live in a world like that without giving into it, without becoming overwhelmed by the things we face? And that's what we're going to discover during this series. So I hope you have a great experience Easter weekend. But if I'm honest with you, I hope it's kind of incomplete, because I want you to come back and for these next few weeks during this series, just kind of see what God might want to do in your life, whatever your spiritual story or your experience with church has looked like up until now. So my wife Susie and I, we like to watch shows. I know that's a little old school. It's not TikTok, but it's shows. We watch shows, okay? And we have this little thing we do that we try to predict what will happen next. How many of us do this? This would be very annoying if only one of us liked to do it, but thankfully we were meant for each other. And so we'll be watching something, and all of a sudden, one of us will blurt out, "It was the mom. The mom did it. Mom did it." No offense, moms. It's not always the mom, but sometimes there's that mom, you know. And we're both the youngest in our family, so we're a little bit competitive. We're a lot competitive. And we try to figure out the plot twist first. And when you think about the stories that most of us are drawn to again and again, the shows we watch, the movies we enjoy, the stories we just keep coming back to over and over, they are kind of predictable, right? Maybe not the details, but we know we're going to meet a character. Everything will be going great for them at first. We'll get to know them a little bit, what their life is like. Then something will go really wrong. There'll be a crisis, a prolonged period where things are not working out, and for a while, it will seem like all hope is lost, but then something will change. Something will turn, something will happen, and it will be good in the end. That's the story we love. And honestly, when our stories don't go that way, the shows we're watching, the movies we're watching, we get a little frustrated, right? Because we know that plot. We recognize it. Why do we return to that plot over and over again? Enter the world, life is going good. Something really bad happens. For a long time, it feels like there's no hope, and then there's hope again. Why do we recognize that so well? Because it's the story of our lives, or some part of us knows it's supposed to be. And whether we're in middle school or high school or 20s or 30s, maybe raising kids or facing midlife or taking care of aging parents or approaching retirement, wherever we are in life, we know that's the way life is supposed to go. But sometimes we get stuck in between. We get stuck in the grief of our difficult seasons and moments before our story is finished. And we get stuck wondering if there is a God out there somewhere, and if he's good, why is he allowing me to face and to feel all of this stuff that isn't good? And all of us have wondered that. In fact, if you've had those moments where you've thought that, if there's a God out there somewhere, why is he allowing me to go through this? You are not alone. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, a guy named Jeremiah actually puts into words what a lot of us have felt in our emptiest, loneliest, most frustrated moments. Here's what he writes. "I cry out, my splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss." Happy Easter. So for some of us right now, we're going, hey, I'm not a preacher, but there are other verses in the Bible, you know, for Easter. Like, This is supposed to be a happy time, and I get it, but stay with me. Jeremiah lost track of the plot in the midst of his pain. He got stuck in this one season in his story, and he couldn't see the rest of it. Susie and I had our second kid in our late 20s, and Connor entered the world without a lot of drama and fanfare. And I don't just say that because I'm the guy and I was not physically involved. My wife would attest to this. It was pretty smooth. And we always thought he looked like a wise little old man. He always had this scrunched up expression on his face, this very serious look. But when he was a year or so old, we noticed that he wasn't progressing at the same rate that other kids his age were. And a few months after that, he lost all of his eye contact. The few words that he had learned disappeared. And it seemed like we were losing him. When he was 2 years old, Connor was diagnosed with a neurological disorder. And it was clear from the regression and how severe it was that this was going to have a significant impact, not only on his life, but on our family. And I, before this, had always thought, without realizing it or really putting it into words, I'd known people, not well, but kind of from a distance, who had kids in their life who had unique needs. And I just always thought that they must have been chosen by God for that job because they were qualified. As if God knew, not everyone can be the parent of a kid with unique needs and a kid whose path is going to be difficult or different from most other kids. And so he chose really patient, nurturing people to be their parents. The only problem with my theory was that now I was that parent and I was not very patient or nurturing. I'm a type A personality. See a problem, fix a problem. How many of us, by a show of hands? That was too slow. All right, so I'm very direct. Everything always moves at this fast speed for me, and I just fix things. In fact, someone reminded me of this past week. I've been married for a long time, and I still forget, if you're a man married to a woman who presents you with something difficult she's going through, she may not be looking for a solution, which I tend to forget because I'm just assuming if you are sharing how you feel, it's because you want me to fix how you feel, and I can do that. I can fix you. Apparently, this is not good. That's the way I'm wired. So a few days after Connor's diagnosis, I was home alone one evening, and I thought, okay, Johnson, get it together. You can fix this. I thought, I'm going to research this online for a couple of hours. By the end of the night, I will have found a way to fix it. And a couple hours later, it was very clear, that's not how this is going to go down. And I spiraled. Went to a very dark place very fast because it felt like everything I had hoped for from the Lord was lost. And at that point, every day, it felt like my son was slipping away from me. Susie put on a braver front at first, but a few months later, it hit her too, and both of us just entered this dark season. We lost track of the plot in the midst of the pain. Jeremiah believed in God, but he cried out because it seemed like life had stolen his hope, like God had ripped him off. And some of us have probably felt that way, like I did in that season of my life. Maybe our parents got divorced, even though we laid in bed as a kid and desperately prayed that God would keep them together. Maybe we've been consumed by anxiety lately. It just keeps getting worse. We don't know why, and it's sucking the life out of us. We feel like we can't even live life. Maybe there's never enough money. Maybe we thought we'd be over the breakup by now. Maybe someone hurt us, wounded us in a deep way, and time has passed, but the trauma remains. And inside, we're maybe not out loud, but inside, some of us have had moments when we cried out. Jeremiah does. Apparently, it's okay to cry out. And he does. He says, essentially, I'm finished. Faith is a lost cause. God has let me down. Everything I hoped for has not turned out the way I hoped it would turn out. And I wonder, for how many of us, Does that sound at least a little familiar? Because so often we try to hide our grief and our disappointment. We try to push through it. We try to hurry past it. But eventually, we have no choice but to face the gap between our expectations and our reality. And we're going to talk about how starting next weekend. But for today, let's just get on the same page, okay? I know it's Easter and I know we're at church, but let's just get on the same page. Religious, non-religious, young, old, rich, poor, somewhere in between. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time. Maybe you sat near the end of your row if you're in one of our physical rooms so that you could make a hasty exit if it gets weird. Like, I don't know where you are, but let's just get on the same page. We all go through seasons like this. All of us, we're all human. And we all go through times in our lives when it feels like there's no end in sight and we just want it to be over. Less pain, please. That's what we're crying out. And we're scared that we might never get past, never get through, or never be the same after this. And again, some of us are wondering, why are you talking about this at Easter? You chose pastel colors, man. Bait and switch. This is supposed to be, where's the bunny? Where is he? I'm talking about this at Easter because I want you to know that you are not alone if you feel a little ripped off by God right now. You are not alone. And I want all of us to know, myself included, that this feeling does not have to leave us in despair. It can actually bring us to Jesus. Because this is his story. When we first meet Jesus, everything's going great. He's loved. Crowds are flocking to hear him teach. He's popular. Everybody's drawn to him. But then something goes really wrong. His friends abandon him. His neighbors turn on him. He ends up nailed to a cross, dying for the sins of the world. Why? Because he knew if we looked closely enough, we would recognize that plot. Jesus enters our story. He comes into our world full of joy, but also heartache and hurt. And he faces the suffering on our behalf. Why? So that we would know that he gets what life is like for us sometimes. Listen to these words written about Jesus before he ever came, hundreds of years before. There was a prophecy that described Jesus this way. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Jesus cried out as he died on a Friday, so that he could connect with our story. He cried out as he died on a Friday so that when we cry out, when we're so depressed we can't think straight, when our kid is battling something and it's breaking our heart, or our parents are facing something and we don't have a solution, when our addiction is greater than our willpower, when our past seems to be haunting our future, when we cry out, Jesus cried out when he died on a Friday so that when we cry out, we would know someone is listening who gets it. Amen. He gets it. And he gets us. He faced the worst on our behalf so that we could know one thing: it'll be good in the end. It'll be good in the end. That's the one difference often between a person who has faith and a person who does not. Both go through difficult things, happy things, hard things, but the person who has faith is holding on to a promise: it'll be good in the end. And that's where Jeremiah lands. He writes, "Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." In other words, God hasn't fixed it yet, but he will. It'll be good in the end. I have this promise I'm holding on to. Now, if you're not sure you buy into Jesus yet, you might be thinking, isn't that kind of like just religious talk? Baseless optimism, empty faith. It'll be good in the end. It's a great question. We're going to grapple with it over the next few weeks during this series. But for all of us who know Jesus, His story provides us with this hope, the ability to get up every morning of our lives knowing that the only thing more real and lasting than whatever we're going through right now is the faithful love of God for us. Yeah. Our grief will not win. Our pain will not be the end of our story. It will be good in the end. And one day, whatever we're going through will fade and fail, but God's love and his mercies, his presence and his protection will never cease. So I have a very important question for you this Easter. All right, dig deep. It's very important. It's a spiritual question. Do you like donuts? Don't brush past this. It's important. Do you like donuts? I hope you like donuts. I like donuts. And I brought donuts today. If you don't like donuts, you need Jesus. He has so much more for you. And I brought donuts. I don't know if you can see my donuts. One has a bite out of it. I may or may not have pre-gamed. But the thing is, if you were here at our church last weekend, I had fresh baked bread on stage with me. And I love that I keep finding ways to use food as an illustration because it's a great way to catch a snack mid-message when you have to preach a lot of times on a weekend. So there's a little hack for you. But I did make a mistake last weekend that I am not going to repeat this weekend. Last weekend, I only had enough bread for me. Today, everybody gets a donut. So I brought enough for everyone. Newark, Hokesson, donuts for everybody. If you're online, get on DoorDash right now. We couldn't figure out how to get donuts to you, but get yourself some donuts. But donuts are great. Can we all agree that donuts are best when they're fresh? That donut's no joke, y'all. Donuts are, you stay right there, I'll be back for you. Donuts are best when they're fresh. You ever have a day-old donut? It's okay. It's not, it'll do in a pinch. It's just not quite the same, right? Can we all agree? You ever have a two-day-old donut? You ever have a week-old donut? Just be honest. That's just desperate. Like, die or eat this donut, you know. How about a year-old donut? About an 11-year-old donut. Jeremiah says, here's what I discovered when I was going through grief, when the world wasn't shaping up the way I wanted it to. I discovered that God's mercies actually begin afresh each morning. What does that mean? It means that some of us are in the middle of something right now, and we are counting on a two-day-old or a two-year-old or an 11-year-old experience with God to get us through it. That's where some of us are. We're like, man, 7 years ago, I trusted God one time. I did the church thing, man. I prayed a prayer. I asked. I tried. And we're wondering why our faith isn't working. And it's because it's gotten stale. The way God actually works is each morning, he is baking, he is creating what we need for that day. Fresh hope. What if you could wake up every day of your life to fresh hope? Not to everything going right on the outside, to everything being right on the inside. What if? What if you could wake up every day knowing, actually, whatever it looks like outside of me, I have peace. I know I have hope. It's part of what our church does. We help people get fresh donuts every day. When you think about it, it's what a community of faith like this is what we do. We gather like this on the weekends, and And we experience God together. We'll be doing this again next weekend. We connect in small groups. We call them J groups. We do life together. We laugh together and pray for each other and encourage each other. We serve others. And we start learning how to invest in the people around us and sharing what God has done in our lives with them. We learn to pray and to read the Bible and connect with God every day. We begin to live generous lives for a purpose beyond ourselves. And what happens is we start living out our faith so that it does not have time to get stale. And every day we're going back to God for fresh mercies. Need you again today, God. Fresh presence, fresh hope. And all of this brings us back to the story of Jesus, because this is the plot of his story. He is crucified on a Friday, and on a Saturday, his body lies buried in a tomb. And it seems like all hope is lost. But a good God is in charge. So on Sunday, Jesus rises from the dead, which may seem like such a shock, such a surprise to most people, but to anyone who's been paying close attention to the story, to anyone who has learned that God's mercies are fresh each morning, to anyone who's actually watching closely, the plot is so predictable. Of course he was going to rise again. It couldn't help but be good in the end, because a good God was in charge. And one of Jesus' disciples, a guy named Peter, who saw Jesus after his resurrection, talks about what it meant to him and what it still means. He says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy." And my hope today, part of my hope, is that every time you see or hear that word mercy, you will think donut. You're welcome. Pass the mercies. I need another one. Can you stop and get a dozen mercies? Maybe it's just me. I tend to read the Bible before I have breakfast, so that's probably what's going on. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, so what does that mean, born again? Here's what it means. All of us who have put our faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who died to forgive our sins and rose again from the dead, we have been made new. We're not what we used to be. We've been transformed from the inside out. We'll celebrate this together in a couple of weeks during baptism weekend here, as people go public with their faith in Jesus. We've been transformed from the inside out. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. But we believed in Jesus. And now it's like we get a second chance at life, a different kind of life. And not only that, but now we have this new hope. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, it'll be good in the end. Jesus dies on a Friday because sometimes we feel like we're gonna die, and sometimes people we love die. So Jesus faces death on our behalf on that Friday, and he walks toward our suffering, hoping that we will pay close attention so we can recognize the plot. And then on a Saturday, he lies buried in a tomb, because sometimes it feels like that's where our hopes are, that's where our dreams are, buried under a million tons of unmet expectations and disappointment and grief. And so Jesus lies in that tomb on Saturday, becoming acquainted with what terrifies us. He faces it on our behalf. And then he rises from the dead on Sunday. And if you're skeptical about that, I get it, but you've got to admit, there's something pretty strange about the fact that 2,000 years later, so many otherwise rational people insist it happened, and that they've been changed by it. He rose from the dead. And now, because Jesus died on a Friday, was buried on a Saturday, and rose on a Sunday, we can dare to hope whatever day of the story we're living. Hope for what? Hope that it'll be good in the end. If it's not good yet, it's not the end yet. It'll be good in the end. There is joy ahead. Even though we have to endure many trials, it's just for a little while. Jesus went through what he did knowing that if we look closely enough, we would recognize the plot. If we paid attention, we would see the storyline. So if we're dying inside on a Friday, If we feel like hope is buried on a Saturday, we can look to Jesus, the Son of God, and know by faith that our grief will not hold us down forever. It does not have the last word. Sunday will come, and that is the message of Easter. It'll be good in the end, and that has been what our family has experienced. Since those dark seasons years ago, we have watched out of the most difficult thing we thought we could ever experience, so much joy, so much hope. In fact, you know what we've experienced? Fresh mercies every morning. You say, because God fixed it all yet? No, because we finally became aware that God isn't finished yet and it'll be good in the end. It has to. A good God is in charge. And you can live that way. You can know that you have fresh hope and help every morning. You can find hope again in Jesus, even when life seems uncertain and dark and difficult. And becoming a part of a community of faith like this can help. Do you know why? Because we know where the donuts are. So for some of you, you're like, I don't know about Christians, you know, people who believe in Jesus. I get it. And maybe you've had some bad experiences. But here's the truth about all of us who really believe in Jesus. We don't think we're better than you. In fact, if you've met an arrogant Christian, I'm not sure you met a Christian. Because we don't think we're better. In fact, most of us who know Jesus are well aware that he saved us early and saved us fast to keep an eye on us. He's like, this is not working. Like, you really need, everybody needs me, but you need me. That's my story. So we don't think we're better. We don't think we've arrived. We don't think we have it all figured out. And we don't have a get out of suffering free card. We go through the same stuff, battle with the same things. But we know where the donuts are. Every day, fresh mercies, hope, purpose, a reason to get up again. So a guy named Jeremiah put our grief into words for us, but he didn't stop there. He also puts our hope into words. Here's what he writes. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him, for no one is abandoned by the Lord forever. Yeah, but I'd stop going to church in ninth grade. No one. But I turned my back on him. You may have abandoned him, but he did not abandon you. No one. But you don't know what I've done. No one is abandoned by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he also shows compassion because of the greatness of his unfailing love. For he does not enjoy hurting people or causing them sorrow. And some of you just need to hear that today. Someone just needs to hear that today. He does not enjoy hurting you or causing you sorrow. That's why he sent Jesus. So take another look at the message of Easter. Listen, you know this plot. It's predictable. He dies on a Friday, and you may be there right now. He lies buried on a Saturday, and you may feel like that's where you are right now. But a good God is in charge. You just haven't gotten to Sunday yet. And the same good God who raised Jesus from the dead, listen, isn't finished with your life. I came to tell you today that it'll be good in the end. Because God is good. He is. And not only that, but he's in charge of the end. So this Easter, as we start this series, Good Grief, and we take this journey together over the next few weeks to say, what might God be doing in me and through me and for me? I wonder how many of us would just say, I believe in Jesus, but I've been tempted just a little maybe to look away from him. I need fresh donuts. I need fresh mercies today. I don't want a day-old experience with God today. I want a fresh experience with him. If that's you today, would you just lift your hand, just hold it up high all over the room in Hokesson, hold that hand up high. Online, you can stretch that hand out right where you are. And then would you open your heart up to God with me, and let's pray. Jesus, we love you. You are so worthy of our praise. And we've looked away from you, perhaps, in this darkness. Couldn't see the words on the page anymore. Lost track of our plot in the midst of our pain. But today, we look at you again. We look back at what you did for us. Jesus, we believe you died to forgive our sins. So sin cannot win. You were buried to defeat death. So death cannot and will not have the last word. And Jesus, we are blown away when we think of how you rose again. So we will rise. Fresh mercies every morning. It'll be good in the end. Amen. Yeah.
lifted on high, crucified, him who knew no sin. The Nazarene, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, Emmanuel, given to my mind awaits. You love me as I am. Precious Redeemer, Lamb that was slain. My sin is gone, and I'm blown away. Yeah, I'm blown away. Crushed by the weight of the world that you came to save. You took my place. Your blood has rivers flowing. The tomb that soldiers washed in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave.
Our King.
standing with me for a few minutes, if you would, here in Newark and Hokesson and online, if you're able to stand where you are. Don't stand if you're driving. We're going to wrap up this gathering in a few minutes, but I know there may be some of you here today in one of our rooms or online that you're not ready to believe in Jesus yet. You're just kicking the tires. Maybe you're skeptical. And that's okay. I'm not here to twist your arm. I don't want to talk you into it, because if I can easily talk you into it, somebody or something can easily talk you out of it. But I do want to encourage you to do just one thing. Come back next weekend. I think you owe it to yourself to give this a few weeks, whatever your experience with church has been or not been. Come back next week. The roof is not going to cave in. Nobody's going to try to make you do or believe anything you're not ready to do or believe. But I think you owe it to yourself to give faith a chance, or maybe a second chance. But there may be some of you today that you are ready. God's been drawing you to Him, and maybe you even came today knowing deep down something's got to give. Maybe your life is in shambles and you need hope that this world can't provide. Or maybe things are going well for you, but the better it gets on the outside, the emptier you become on the inside. Your soul needs a solution that more money and more success and more free time and more friends are not going to provide on their own. And if that's you, what you need to know is there is a good God who gets you. You say, if there's a God, how could He get me? Through Jesus. That's why He sent Jesus. Jesus died on a cross to forgive your sins, to cover the distance between you and a perfect God. And He rose again to give you the power to live a new kind of life. Not an outwardly perfect life, an inwardly changed life. And if you want to take that step today to put your faith in Jesus, I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer. So I'm going to ask everyone again just to open your heart up to God with me. And then if that's you today, if you want to say yes to following Jesus, right where you are, whisper out a prayer of faith. Something like this. You can use my words if it helps you, but pray with faith from your heart. Jesus, today I believe in You. I believe You died to forgive my sins. I believe You rose again. And from this moment on, You are leader and Lord of my life. Give me the power to live a new kind of life with You. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer today, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, would you lift your hand and just hold it up high, boldly, all over the room? Yeah, yeah. In Hokesson, hold that hand up high. Here in Newark, it's amazing, incredible. I love it. It's powerful. Online, you can type the word faith, whatever platform you're on, let us know you're taking that step. And then before you leave today, make sure you fill in a Connect card and let us know. We want to send you some very simple next steps that can help you grow in your faith. We're not going to get all up in your life, I promise you. But we just want to give you some simple ways you can grow, because this is the beginning, not the end. But for right now, Journey, would you help me? Come on, all across our locations, would you give Jesus all the praise, all the honor?